to a brand new episode of Sincerely Jennifer with me, Jennifer Wan. Hi, this episode's a little later than I originally planned. But to be fair, in my defense, I fell asleep earlier when I was going to record. And then I woke up. Such is life. But I'm here now. So it's all going to be fine. How are you doing? I hope you have had a pleasant week since we last spoke. Let's do it again. We filled a photo album in one weekend, and every time the camera clicked, framing your pretty face, I thought, one good girl really is worth a thousand bitches. My ring finger has been itching all night. You poured the wine our friends got us down the sink, and we warmed the house with some cheap cider and a pizza the size of the moon. I made a wish once that one day I would fall asleep and be so excited to wake up, like I used to do on Christmas Eve. Every time I circled the sun, it seemed more impossible. But here I am, tucked up tight, trying so hard to fall asleep so I can spend another day with you. I am so excited. If You Have Ever Wondered, Bound To is my favourite Kanye West song. I just think it's really romantic. Apparently, people didn't like it and like they clowned on it and shit, but I thought it was nice. I think it's a nice song. I like the music video too. I think it's very sweet and very nice. I don't know, maybe people were like mad because of the Kim Kardashian connection or whatever. But I thought it was cute. It was like, oh, he's all in love and shit. That's nice. Yeah, Kanye West is living his Kanye best life. That's nice. And it was cute. And I don't know, man. I just like it. But anyway. I was kind of like fantasizing about like the future. Having someone that I love and, you know, someone to spend my days with, and just that idea of like being really excited just to wake up the next day because it's like, oh my god, I get to spend more time with this amazing person and I'm so fucking excited about it. You know, and like we move into our own place and we get a pizza and like we get a bit drunk probably, and it's just nice. I don't want that for myself. Maybe it's too early to be making Christmas wishes, but like I'm gonna anyway. I'm gonna make my list. And I don't need the Argos catalog to do this, because I only want one thing. True fucking love. That's all I'm after this Christmas. And you might say it's crazy to be making Christmas wishes in August. Well, guess what? I also made a Christmas album in August. What now? What now? That's coming out. Like, not now. It's like ages away. Like end of November time, I think. It's called Christmas Kiss. It's very, very sexy title. It's not. I don't know why I said that. Yeah. So that's what I'm going to be wishing for this Christmas. Something money can't buy. I'm going to be like Mariah Carey sat under my tree like, all I want for Christmas is you. I just don't know who you is yet. She needs to present herself. But like, we'll get there. There's still a couple months. So Santa's got time to like work on it and like, you know, put everything in motion. So let's hope, you know what I mean? April showers in August. My soul sparkles compliant and clean, regrets washed away. All the names I used to carve into my heart have been scraped off, circling the drain, crying out for one last chance, but never making it past the fortress of my noise-cancelling headphones. The world has always been a strange place, but today it troubles me more than usual. Skies aflame, shop shelves apologetic and empty. The roads are a roller coaster of potholes and warped tarmac. And it's been too late for far too long for anything to change. So I suppose that my soul resurrecting like the Redeemer isn't so special. But it means something to me anyway. I wanted a clean soul for the last day of the show. Nobody wants to die as a dirty girl. The world has felt like it's been ending for a long time at this point. You know. Of course, there was the pandemic, which felt very like, oh shit, this is it, you know, this is how we go. And all the changes that happened. Lots of things with the environment lately have been fires in Turkey and Greece, which is just horrifying to watch unfold. The situation that's happening right now in Afghanistan, flooding in many parts of Europe, in Germany, in London, those whole places just completely flooded to levels that we'd never really seen before. And there's just these unreal videos on social media, if you know, people literally having to wade through water. And it's a weird thing because you see these things and you see them through a real human perspective this time. You know, when I was younger, you know, I'd see them on the news, but they'd be kind of, you know, filmed with professional cameras and you'd have a journalist there talking about it. And, you know, you cared, but it felt less personal. But now you've got, you know, people taking personal videos, you know, on their phones, you know, talking about it in real time, you know, seeing Snapchats of people, you know, wading through floods, trying to get some help, you know, people filming themselves running away from these fires. I saw a video just now on Twitter of an airport in Afghanistan where civilians were trying to escape as the Taliban essentially took over the country, and people are trying to escape. And I went to help people. But beyond, you know, donating to organizations that are on the ground and helping people, and, you know, trying to raise awareness, you know, writing to representatives to try and persuade our government to do something. I mean, the British government, the clowns, absolute clowns, they've said, I mean, particularly with Afghanistan, that they're bringing Parliament back to discuss the situation this week. I think it's on Wednesday. But the problem with that is it's just going to be a debate where a bunch of people stand up, say their piece, but I just have a feeling nothing is going to come from that. We don't need them to have like a 5-hour debate. What we need them to do is help civilians in Afghanistan who are in danger right now to get to safe places, to get to the UK, other countries, so that they can come here and have a chance at a life and not be in danger That is what we need the British government to do. And frankly, I don't feel that they need to go through the fucking performance of yelling at each other across the house to do that. They could just be decent people and do it. But it is what it is, you know. But just as a regular person with no power, when you see these things happening, it feels kind of overwhelming. And especially you feel kind of selfish when you think about the little things in your life that really, in the grand scheme of things, and you know, the big picture of the world, are probably not that important. You know, me feeling a bit better in myself is probably not that important in comparison to what's going on in these places. I feel like I want to do more and I want to help people, but I can't. So I guess all I can do is do the little things I can to help, you know, donate what I can, share what I can to try and get other people around me informed, knowing what's happening, try and influence my government to help people and do the decent thing. And I guess just be kind of quietly proud of my own personal development, you know. Hooray, I'm a little bit less of a mess than I was like a month before now. Yay. I told everyone once, several times actually, that sincerely is how I end my letters, but never how I live my life. And it is perhaps the only thing I have never lied about. One day, you might be happy, but you are not happy now. I want so desperately to tell you that you are happy when you are 21 or 25 or 29, but it just isn't true. You aren't unhappy because of how your life goes, although I suppose that is a factor. You're unhappy because you've been lying for almost 3 decades. It doesn't feel like a lie, more of an accident, like a terrible mistake that went unresolved for far too long. You said something, and then you kept saying it for a very long time. Then you said something else to be a bit more adventurous, but the thrill was short-lived because there was someone walking behind you. She took every step that you did, watching the way your mouth melted around every lie until the rest of you dissolved and there was nothing else but her. She is terrifying to you. She looks like you. She dresses like you. She talks like you. She types like you. She orders a McNugget meal and a McFlurry every Thursday night and watches Drag Race just like you. That is because she is you, I'm afraid. There's one key difference. She is, you have told the truth entirely, out loud, once. Just once. And that was by accident. You were talking to a friend and she asked you about dating and you called yourself that word. It's lucky that you were on the phone because you clasped your hands over your mouth and hot tears began prickling at the corners of your eyes. You didn't even know why you were crying. I mean, it was just a word. Just a label, just 7 letters. You have typed it into your Twitter biography, but I think most of your followers think you're joking. I don't know why this is, because as I'm sure that you are already aware, you are not funny. You are the straight man, if the straight man was a woman who wasn't straight. You haven't told your grandparents yet. As of writing, you still haven't. You had planned to tell them a few days before that phone call with your friend at dinner. Your family keep making dinner plans with you since the COVID-19 lockdown ended because the novelty of your company hasn't worn off yet. But you couldn't say it. Every time you thought about saying it, your throat got tight. You felt sick. You imagined looks of disgust and pity on their faces. Your grandfather asked you if you were seeing anyone. He made a point to keep the question gender neutral. He said someone, not him. You changed the subject without answering the question. You went home that night and you cried yourself to sleep. I still don't know why. I mean, does it really matter if you say it? Maybe they already know. Maybe they're fine with it. Maybe if they're not, you could still just marry a man and have a baby. You never cared for intimacy anyway, so why don't you just do it? Find the first frog that crosses your path, close your eyes and play princess. Please tell them. Please. I'm begging you. Just tell them. Nobody's going to love you any less. It doesn't matter though, because your name is nobody. You despise yourself. You despise the future and how it wouldn't be what storybooks and pop singles from the 90s said it would be. I don't know why you can't say it. Maybe it's because you're afraid that it means something more than I am exclusively available to one group of people. Maybe it's because you're frightened to admit that the dating pool getting smaller means you have even less chance of getting the fairy tale ending to life that you want. Maybe it's because all the things you want in life are only the things you want because they're easy to obtain. You aren't the prettiest girl, but you've had at least one serious marriage proposal. But then you threw it all away. Why? Well, probably because he wasn't a... Your grandmother pulled you aside that night at dinner. She can always tell when there's something stuck in your throat. She asked. You couldn't look her in the eye because you knew that if you did, you'd say it. They already thought you were halfway down the path, so what difference does it make if you keep walking and you find a rainbow or whatever? It makes a difference to you. I wish I could tell you why that is, but I can't because I don't know. God, you're so stupid and complicated. My throat is really tight just now, and I have a feeling that I'm on my way to a screaming headache. I have an unread message from someone who'd like to take me on a date, and I am so afraid of her. I've done this before, but it's never been so final. I always had the get out of jail free card of comp hair and how easy men are to find and how I'm really just your neighborhood friendly bisexual with a mild misandry streak. That part was a joke. It turns out you are funny, so please no emails from men because I just don't care. But now, I went on a date with a man in June. He was several decades older than me. And he told me that one day he'd love for me to live with him in Dundee. And I thought, yeah, okay, fuck it, why not? I like Scotland, and I liked him. Honestly, I did. He thinks that I didn't, but I did. He made me laugh, and I liked that he moved really quickly because it didn't give me time to think about why I'd probably be better suited to a... He knew. Seriously, a man who had known me for just a few weeks knew. He said it completely openly as we had drinks, and I almost choked to death before spluttering out a denial because I wasn't a... I definitely wasn't a... I would definitely not be better suited to a... I have never successfully played golf. I suppose I should have reacted with something other than childlike distress at the mere mention of having sex with him, if I wanted to pass as a friend of Thatcher. As it all turns out, my dead-eyed, disassociative drama show is harder to replicate over text message. I'm normally not there when a man is, you know what I mean? I go to this place, there's nobody there but me. I play guitar in a meadow, or I walk along an empty beach. I play him a record of sighs and screams, and I just wait behind the scenes for him to fall asleep, and then I normally cry in a bathroom because I feel invaded. And it isn't his fault, because I did say yes, but I'm too hysterical to swallow the blame myself. And I'm a Catholic, so I don't really swallow stuff anyways. They always say I'm so tight, but they never really wonder why that is. I'm not 16 anymore. And they're alone in the desert and they can't really see that. I suppose if I know that that's a problem, I should be in good order when it comes to handling. I actually wouldn't. My first girlfriend was a heterosexual who had the hump with her fella and wanted to make him jealous. And the second was sweet, but even more oppressed than I am. So we just sort of held hands in a wardrobe for a few months, and then she had the audacity to die. By the way, one day we will write something about how self-centered you are, but one thing at a time. So I am right back where I started, starry-eyed and scared of how quickly I can lose it, wishing I was 16 again so I wouldn't have the stigma of being such a late bloomer. You have watched the episode of The Simpsons where Patty gets married a million times. It has kind of become a comfort blanket because you know that even though it's possible that someone who loves you will just sort of stop as soon as they see the truth, they'll always come round by the end of the episode. But your life is not an animated TV show. You are not less of a being, but, you know, maybe everything won't work out. But maybe it will. But either way, you are being followed by that girl and that secret that is so close to being spilled, and the pain is immeasurable. Your grandparents are some of God's better people. And they taught your mother to be kind, which was passed to you in utero and on the outside too. So what are you so afraid of? They're used to you being dramatic. So if it all goes wrong, we'll just pretend it was an improvised monologue. Like the first time you told a girl that you loved her at 11 years old. By the way, you have spent years pretending that she was a boy when you tell that story, because it makes her look of horror a little less harrowing, but I don't think anyone's buying it. And then we'll just marry a man with a job and a car and a high sperm count, and hopefully he'll have an affair and leave me the fuck alone, and I'll write a record about it and get custody of the kids, and they'll all hate him so he'll never come to visit and I will never be invaded again. Phone is ringing. I'm writing this last part, and I secretly hope I hear my grandma on the answering machine so I can mumble something about how it wasn't important, and I'll call her back later. Either way, whether she answers or whether the machine does, we all know I won't be able to tell her out loud on purpose that I am a... Well, you know. Well, there we are. yeah. That was just sort of like writing out my anxieties into this long monologue-y thing. Until I felt better, but I didn't feel better, but... Well, I had to do something else. I was like, I'll just edit it then and post it, fuck it. Times are hard and friends are few. Ta-ra to all my fucking anxieties and overthinking about my life and my identity. I fucking love that video. There is this guy. He's amazing. I love it. I saw it on Instagram and I was like, this is the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen. What an icon. Anyways. Oh, God. The human experience is so hard. I want a fucking refund. I didn't ask for none of this. Part of me feels like no one's gonna care and no one's gonna think any less of me. But then part of me is like, but what if they do? Because other people are so unpredictable. You know what I mean? And it's like, even if you think you know someone so much and you trust them so much, what if this is the one time that you're wrong? And then you make that mistake and you can't go back and you can't fix it. And it sounds irrational, I know that. But I'm scared to break something I know potentially couldn't be fixed. But then I'm like, but that's not going to happen. You know that it's not going to happen, but there's still like this fear that built up. I want a McFlurry, but McDonald's is closed. Life is so unfair. Scarlet slip I know you like. My hair is soft and smells of strawberries, and I can barely resist another peek in the mirror, glimmering like a midnight fantasy, smiling as I hear the harmony of your key turning in the door. Tonight, I am going to seize the means of seduction, seizing your attention the second you walk in, walking towards you with sweet and soft lips. I am all that you've been dreaming of since you left our bed this morning. Sometimes you want to like feel sexy, but also like socialist. Stupid, oh my god. But like for real, sometimes I just want to feel like a hot bitch, you know what I mean? I really thought that was funny. Just as a concept. Just like throwing politics into seduction. I just thought it'd be fucking funny. Sometimes I just want to like be waiting there when someone gets home and just like be that girl like in the movies, you know, like I got my makeup on, my hair looks right, my skin is soft, I'm barely dressed, and it's gonna be a wonderful treat for you because you got home and you've had a hard day and you can forget all about it, it's gonna be fabulous. But alas, that has not happened for me for a long time because of the pandemic. She's such a bitch. I hate her. Oh, ruining my fucking life. So if anyone wants that, you should like let me know. Just give me like the key to your back door and then open your front door for a surprise. No, I'm kidding. That would be terrible. So I said I was going to do a Q&A, so now I'm going to answer some of your questions that you guys left for me on Instagram. Boom. Okay. Is Audacious getting a music video? No. Well, I mean, I have no plans at the moment, but like, I don't know. Currently, no, I would say the answer. Can you explain your sexuality now? I'm confused, no offense. Bitch, me too, the fuck. Anyways, where is Memory Lane? God, I don't want to answer this one either. I'm still recording stuff for it. Sorry. If it helps, there is like a new album coming like next month. So it will come out eventually, I promise. Is there a deluxe edition of the new album? Yes. Yes, there will be. And I will let you know about that momentarily. Like, not momentarily, actually, it's going to be a bit longer than that, sorry. Do you have a boyfriend? No, I do not. And I probably never will again. Why are the old... I knew I was going to get asked about this. Why are the old Christmas songs on Christmas Kiss? Okay, so... So, for those who don't know, I think I talked about this, like, earlier. I don't remember. But I'm releasing a Christmas record called Christmas Kiss a little bit later in the year. And I put up a preview of that. I put up an album sampler as a B-side to a single I released recently. And as some of you may have noticed, some of my older Christmas songs that I've released are part of the track list. So... but why are they is the question. Firstly, at least one of the songs, Winter Girl, did not actually get released everywhere. It was supposed to be, but it wasn't initially when it was first released. So this is a way of getting it on all the stores it was supposed to be on without reissuing the original single, which would be a pain in the ass for me to do. But I felt like it would be weird if I just put one of the old songs on there. So I figured if I put them all on there, then they're all in the same place so people can like listen to all of my Christmas songs in one place, if that makes sense. So yeah, that's why. sorry if that bothered you, I guess. I don't know. Can you share more of Widow? I'm not allowed, sorry. But you know, it's coming out soon, so. Oh god, not this. What is your bra size? Anyways, what kind of girls do you like? What an interesting question. I like... No, I can't say that. You know, kind of... I mean, aesthetically, I don't have, like, a major preference. Just, like, someone who's nice and, you know, funny and clever and nice to animals, really. Is that a type? I don't know. Oh, goodness me. I saw you on Bumble, but I don't think you matched me. Okay. I don't really know what to do with that information. Sorry, I guess. When is the cover reveal for Pretty Like a Pop Star? Soon, probably. I think. I don't know. Are any live events happening soon? Yes, but I don't want to say anything about when in case it has to be cancelled because of the pandemic. So I don't want to like have people like, you know, I don't want to basically like fuck people around basically. So, you know, until I'm sure it's definitely going to happen, I don't really want to say like when. What is your favorite hot drink? Hot chocolate. I love you, Jennifer. That's very sweet. Thank you. And I love you too, but you have dreadful taste. Hey, how are you? Dying inside. No, I'm fine. What is your favorite poem of yours? It changes all the time, man. I don't know. Recently, I really liked Don't Bury That Gay, She's Mine. I really liked that a lot. I thought that was very good. Would you ever release Mad About the Girl on DVD? Probably not, no. It's like a half hour film, and I feel like it'd be a bit wasteful to produce a DVD for something that's half an hour. You know, the planet is dying, you know what I mean? We don't need to create stuff that does not need to, do you know what I mean? And like, I also feel it would be a bit unethical to make people pay for something that they can watch for free on YouTube. Like, I feel like that'd be a bit unfair. Do you watch Riverdale? I'm sorry, but I don't. I see it like sometimes in like memes or like on social media, but like I don't watch it myself. Are you at, oh no, I'm not reading that actually. How many songs are on your phone? Oh my god, I don't know. Quite a lot, probably. Is there a way I can find out? Apple Music's not gonna fucking tell me. I hate it here. I don't know. I'm sorry. And I can't like sit here and like physically count them all, but quite a lot. What was your favorite song from playlist volume 4? Oh, I have to check the track list because I released it ages ago, I feel. Probably Why Try to Change Me Now. I had a really good time recording it and it was really fun. Can you follow me back on Rizzle? Yes, I'll send you a message, and if you send me your username and I'll follow you. Will any songs from the new album have music videos? Yes. I can tell you one because it's finished. And it's literally uploaded to YouTube right now, but like it's set as private, so I can just like release it when it's ready and it's time to go. So Widow has a music video. I might do some more, I don't know. How old are you? I am 29 years old. One interesting question. Are there any unreleased covers we haven't heard yet? Yes. I keep a list of like everything I've recorded, and some of them, I need to tell you this because, well, it's the truth. Some of them may never get released. I don't know. I recorded Over the Rainbow recently. When I was doing my series, I was doing like different songs by like LGBT people and allies, and I did a song by Judy Garland. I recorded two, so I did by myself, and I recorded Over the Rainbow, but I didn't release Over the Rainbow because I thought that's a bit of an obvious choice if you're recording a Judy Garland song, like everyone's gonna do that. So I was like, let me do something a bit different. So I've got that, which I might release at some point, I don't know. I have a half finished cover of See You Again by Tyler the Creator. I recorded, and it's mixed and it's completely finished, but the moment's kind of gone to release it until like December now because it's not Christmas anymore. But I recorded I'll Be Home for Christmas and I didn't release it last year, and I don't remember why I didn't do that, but I could do it this year, I suppose. Trying to Get the Feeling Again by Barry Manilow. That's on my iCloud. Although I need to finish mixing that because it's not finished. It's Hairspray from the movie Hairspray. Boyfriend by Selena Gomez, which feels a bit redundant now, if I'm honest. Amnesia. I recorded that. There's quite a few. But I won't be releasing another playlist album for a little bit because I've got like a couple of things coming out. So, you know. But soon, at some point, I promise. Hi, I'm Jennifer Wan, and I'm here with my brand new podcast, What the Actual Fuck Is Going On With This Whole Politics Business? Now listen, I got questions and you got questions, so let's get together and find out the answers. Because politics is not nearly as complicated as a lot of people want us to think it is. So join me every week where I break down what is actually going on, what is going to happen next, and if I'm being real, laughing at how meme-worthy some of these kids are, because they are ridiculous. When you tear down the smoke, the mirrors, the maces, and the nonsense, British politics is a clown show. So get your popcorn, put on your red nose, and join me every week for all the gossip on all the guys, gals, and non-binary pals that run the country. The trouble with me is that I am a vacation, a place to get lost in until you find yourself. Come and be captured in cool waters, bronzing and barely noticing that all the doors are locked. My bags for life have commitment issues, buckling and making a break for it. Mint sauce and milkshake splatter down the gutter, and I let out a guttural scream because everybody and everything leaves. That was so fucking dramatic. Do you want to know how that started? I went to the shops Friday night to get my shop in, get all my stuff in. Went to do a Sunday dinner, so I had to go pick up some bits, get my shop in for the week as well. And I remembered to take one bag for life with me, and I thought, I'll just ask the person at the checkout if I can buy some other bags, right? But then when it came to it, I was like, I don't know, I didn't say it. And so I felt like the moment had gone because she started scanning everything and passing it down. And I thought, oh my God, I want to ask her for another bag, but I feel like she's sort of in the moment and she's in the flow and I don't want to interrupt her. So I just kept my fucking mouth shut. And I was like, whatever, I'll just fucking pack everything into one bag. It will be fine. And it was fine until I got out. Picked up my bag to go and walk to the bus stop. I took one step, literally one step, and one of the handles just came away. Fucking bag falls on the floor, shit goes everywhere, and I just thought, oh my God, not this. I was so embarrassed, even though there was like literally nobody there. There was no one around because it was about sort of 9:30 at night when I was leaving. There was nobody around, but I felt all embarrassed. I was like, oh, I can tell it's Friday the fucking 13th because Jesus. Oh, I managed to kind of, because I put some of the stuff in my handbag so it was a bit lighter, and then I was just like, I'll just hold the other side of the bag that's broken, like hold like the main bag part of it in my hand, because the other hand will still work and it'll be fine. Oh, managed to make it home eventually. The lesson is, do not put all your shopping that includes 3 2-litre bottles into one fucking bag for life, because that bag for life will lose the will to live and will break, and you will be fucking stood there in the Sainsbury's car park feeling like you want to cry. And then you'll go to the bus stop and the bus won't even fucking turn up, even though it's the last bus, because that's just that Friday the 13th life. And then you will like have a little cry to yourself, and then you'll get an Uber. But you'll have to wait to get your Uber because they'll be surge pricing on, because it's a Friday night. So you wait until it goes down. And then you get home and you put your shopping away, and then you go to bed and you just literally cry again, because that's just that Friday the 13th life.
Thank you for listening to Sincerely Jennifer with me, Jennifer Wan. If you want to find more of my work, you can on my website, jenniferwan.com, or you can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Reddit, SoundCloud, and pretty much every social media website ever, with the username Miss J Squared. Thank you to my amazing